Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Saturday, end of the week, February 6, 2010 here. And obviously the big news today, the Mid-Atlantic coastal area is just getting hammered. I mean, boy, talk about your global warming. It's just a monster storm over there, and it's the lead story on all the networks. They've got their people out there with the microphones, and the snow is falling down. They're saying, wow, look at all this stuff piling up here. And it's just absolutely amazing. I've got family on the East Coast, and they're emailing me and saying it's just absolutely insane. They don't remember the last time they saw a winter this harsh or this much snow, and it's just crazy out there. Churches are telling their worshipers, their parishioners, to stay at home today and tomorrow. Don't come to church. Pray to your gods in your home. Sacrifice a chicken, burn a candle, whatever you're going to do. But do it at home just for safety's sake, which I think is the very responsible thing to do. Amazingly enough, U.S. Postal Service is being canceled in a lot of these areas. And you know those guys. Neither rain nor snow nor dark of night or... holy cow, look at all that snow. I'm staying home. And so the mail delivery is being canceled. And again, I'm not going to fault them for this. You know, we've all got email that gets through regardless of the weather conditions, unless you've had a power failure. And it's just anybody who's out on the roads right now, they're insane. They're being insane. In fact, I'm noticing most of these news feeds about the weather. People are just stepping outside their studio or even just outside their home, and they're sending in the feeds over the Internet. Because nobody wants to be on the roads, and that's really a very good thing. Latest report is that Al Gore is wandering around the halls of his mansion in Tennessee, crying and wailing and screaming. The head of the IPCC is saying, that's not really snow, it's just white lumpy rain. The world is still getting warmer, you must give us your carbon taxes. Basically, we're getting states of emergency in places like West Virginia. The snow has absolutely paralyzed the nation's capital. This may be the safest we have been from the federal government in the last decade, because they're all buried under snow. They can't legislate. They can't raise taxes. They can't start another war. This may be the first time of peace that we have known in a huge, huge, huge amount of time here. And let's see. The White House is saying that this is a secret attack by Iran, and therefore we should go to war to them tomorrow. No, they didn't really say that, but I'm sure somebody's saying, how can we blame this on Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda's got a snow machine up there, and they've got their own version of HAARP, and they're hitting us with their snow weapon, and they're going to unleash their abominable snowman on us to kill us in our sleep, and therefore we must strike preemptively. Now, obviously the weather is going to be less of a factor for the Super Bowl tomorrow. Everybody's down there getting ready for the parties, and the supermarkets are trying to whip up sales for snack food and chips and sodas and all the rest of that. For those of us who work in the computer animation and commercials industry, we're always looking forward to seeing those Super Bowl commercials, because those are the best of the best. It's kind of an unofficial championship of commercials going back for many, many years, and I'm very pleased. I've actually had some of my work on the Super Bowl commercials throughout the years. Not this year. Now that I'm out here in Hawaii, I'm kind of out of the mainstream of that kind of thing. But years ago, when I was with Robert Abel and Associates, I had a lot of my work that showed up on the Super Bowl, and that was always quite a bit of fun. And now, of course, I don't know. There may be a commercial for Lost on the Super Bowl, which in turn might contain some of my work, but that's kind of like 3-4 times removed, so I don't get all excited about that. Obviously, some people are very concerned with our government so desperate to start a new war with Iran that either the U.S. or Israel, acting on its own recognizance, might try and stage some kind of an event at the Super Bowl or the Olympics. So, you know, I hope not. I don't want to see people get hurt, but it's a possibility that we have to be prepared for. Now, I wanted to remind everybody that today, just about the time this show is ending here on GCN, at 11 a.m. Pacific time, which is 1 o'clock Central time when this show ends up, there's going to be a conference call for the national strike that is taking place 4 days in April, April 15th through the 18th. It's across a weekend, so it's not all that difficult to go along with the strike here. And we've got an announcement posted at the top of the What Really Happened page, but I'm going to give it to you again. The phone number, when this show is over, grab your phone, dial 712-775-7000. 7200. When it asks you for the access number to join the conference call, the access number is 431-669, followed by the pound sign, and you'll get plugged in, and Karen's going to come on and tell you what the progress is being made for the national strike. We'll probably mention that one more time before the end of the day here. All right, now I want to talk a little bit about local news here for a moment. I normally don't do local Hawaii stuff, but this is kind of important. Before we get to that, though, a reminder that on Saturdays our call-in number for this show is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room today, ready to answer your calls and put you on the air. Now, out here in Hawaii, and we've got this reputation of being this wonderful tropical paradise, which it looks like as long as you're in the tourist areas in Waikiki, but if you drive up that leeward side like Zogby did a week ago, you're in for an eye-opening shock. It's really getting bad here. Anyway, bankruptcies here in Hawaii are up 33%, one-third, over this same time last year, and it was already bad last year, so things are really deteriorating here. And the really bad news is that Moody's has cut Hawaii's bond outlook to negative. That is a major, major body check. It means Hawaii is not going to be able to borrow any more money without paying huge, huge usurious interest rates for it. Now, as a result of this story, I wrote yet another in a long series of letters to the local newspapers, the Honolulu Advertiser and the Star Bulletin, which they're probably going to ignore as they have ignored so many others. But I did post it to whatreallyhappened.com, and I'm going to read it to you right now. Against the possibility and the likelihood that the local papers will ignore it as they've ignored all the others. So this is my letter to the local newspapers. For well over a year now, I've been writing about how the TSA's maltreatment of tourists was strangling our state. The TSA, proven totally ineffective both by the DHS testing and the recent crotch bomber, gets off by fondling our wives and daughters, dropping our laptops, and now awaits their newest toys, which will allow them to see us all totally naked with enough clarity to determine our religion. As a side note, a TSA screener at Los Angeles International was just arrested on child porn charges. Because of this totally ineffective but annoying maltreatment, tourists are avoiding the USA, opting to spend their tourism dollars in nations with more respect for people. And as a result, we have all been forced to watch our beautiful state wither away slowly like a beloved family member dying of cancer. TSA exists only to trick people into thinking the U.S. government cares for them, while the U.S. government carries out invasion after invasion, all on false pretenses, in an effort to conquer enough of other people's oil and mineral wealth, or simply kill those people the U.S. government owes money to get out of the fiscal mess they have created. History reveals the plan. The U.S. government got out of the crash of 1904 with World War I. The U.S. government got out of the crash of 1929 with World War II. Here we are in the throes of the crash of 2007, and look how hard the U.S. government is trying to start wars everywhere they can. The U.S. has already invaded Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Yemen, Pakistan, and now aims at Iran. How many wars does the U.S. have to start before it qualifies as a new world war? And having lost our manufacturing power of the last century, and with an economy already in ruins, how can we possibly hope to win one? They'll ignore it, as they've ignored all the others here, but I think it basically cuts right to the heart of the matter. The U.S. government decided they were going to go onto this war footing and start invading countries and grabbing other people's oil, and in order to convince the American people that we were safe from reprisals, they put on this whole dog and pony theatrical act called the TSA, which time and time and time again is proven to completely miss real terror threats. Half the practice bombs DHS sends through get through. Harvard Business School investigated the TSA and found they weren't really making us any safer. The crotch bomber got past them. It's a complete waste of time and money. Its only purpose is to make it look like the U.S. government is taking care of the American people while it goes about making enemies of the rest of the entire world. And this was exactly what Nazi Germany did. We've all seen the stereotype cliches in the movies. Your paper, please. We must have your paper. Your papers are not in order. You're not allowed to go here without the papers. That was exactly what it was. It was to convince the German people that the government was taking care of them by giving them all these ideas and papers and checking and stamps everywhere they went. And it was a hoax. It was a fraud. It didn't really protect the German people. It just kept them quiet and cowed. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors, 800-259-9231, and we'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
To the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha,
online
America.
Now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got Nick in Arizona. Aloha, Nick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thank you very much for taking my call. Big fan of your show. I rely on it every day to get caught up on what's going on in the world. I was just calling in to comment about the TSA. It's definitely putting a hamper on everybody, especially myself. I'm planning to go out to Hawaii with my lovely fiance and get married here in October. But now that they've got these body scanners up, I've written some letters and sent that stuff off to something like we're going to be using Alaska. So I'm just telling them how I feel about it, and it's making me not want to travel, and they're really doing a good job about it, keeping us in our place and really restricting travel. It's really, really upsetting.
Yeah, they are, and it's destroying every part of this country that requires that relies on tourism dollars, not just Hawaii, but California, Florida, any place where there's a large tourism industry. And it isn't just restricting Americans from wanting to go. Nobody from other countries wants to come here anymore. Even with the dollar in decline and the U.S. finally becoming a financially attractive tourism destination, nobody wants to come here anymore. And, you know, we're seeing businesses are failing here in Hawaii. You know, airlines have gone out of business. The support industries that support them are going out of business. Hilo Hatties is an iconic Hawaiian company. They've had to go into bankruptcy because nobody's coming here to buy the products that they make, and they're one of the permanent fixtures of Hawaii tourism, and they're in serious trouble. And, you know, it's all a dog and pony show by the government to convince us that, golly gee whiz, we are going to protect you from those mean old terrorists who hate us for our freedoms. And it's nonsense. The U.S. is invading all these other countries to steal their oil and their mineral wealth, or put in these puppet regimes to steal the oil and mineral wealth and try and recover, you know, and for the U.S. to get out of this horrific financial mess the government has barred itself into. And it's not going to work, and that's the bitterest thing of all. I mean, I have on this website, for the last 16 years, I have been saying the government was on this reckless fiscal course that was going to destroy the country and set the stage for a new war, and here we are. And so I am telling you with the same certitude that this new global war will lose it. Now, the bankers don't care whether America wins or loses the war, because it runs up debts on both sides, and debt is what.
Pay them.
Yeah.
And another thing too, I follow your show, and you're always indicating that the History Channel is always running these life without humans. They're just rubbing it in our face. I just was flipping through the channels. I was flipping through the channels, and the latest one they were running here was the crumbling of America, our crumbling infrastructure, all these bridges that are, you know, falling apart. And I just think to myself, oh, well, just think of all that money we sent to Israel. Think of all that money that we're wasting in Iraq and Afghanistan, all the money we're wasting on the stupid body scanners. And it's just a joke. It makes me so mad. I really wanted to go out to partake in Hawaii, go and marry my beautiful fiance out there, and now I'm just, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through a body scanner. I'd rather, if they want to see me naked, I'd rather just strip down and just walk through, avoid the radiation, avoid the hard drive storage, and just get on with it already.
Yeah, well, no, there are actually airlines that are allowing people to fly naked on them right now, and it's supposed to be an exotic vacation. It'll get to that way. I mean, it's almost like that old custom of prima nocte that they had in medieval times, where you're on your wedding trip, and the goons at the airport are going to see your new bride naked before you get to.
Like in Braveheart, where they wanted to have your wife first, and that's basically the same thing. Oh yeah, oh, you're going to go get married. Oh well, she's a keeper. We give the TSA seal of approval on your wife's private parts there.
Yeah. You know, they just arrested a TSA guy in Los Angeles for child porn, and he was also a counselor at a Catholic school. They're hiring these losers there to sit and fondle your wives and girlfriends, and it is. It's reached a point of utter joke, and yeah, people don't want to travel anymore. Unfortunately, here in Hawaii, we're on an island. My wife is having to take a business trip soon, and she is absolutely livid that, you know, that she's going to have to go through one of these naked body scanners, but it's either that or not go on the trip at all. I mean, and that is a dictatorship. When you lose the right to say no, you know, then that's you're living in a dictatorship.
Yeah, it's disgusting, and it's like not only the naked part aside, it's like, oh, yeah, go through there, get radiated. I saw an article on InfoWars or somewhere on, you know, the alternative sites. They give you the real news, and they're talking, yeah, they radiate you, and they increase the risk of cancer, not to mention, you know, the Los Alamos studies where they found it unzips your DNA, but that's fine.
Yeah, and birth defects and all the rest of it. And they're already talking about going to full, complete interbody x-rays now, because obviously real terrorists, if there are any out there, I personally think they're all CIA and Mossad fakes, but real terrorists could, you know, conceal explosives inside their body, in their stomach, in their whatever. And so now they're talking about a full body x-ray every time you travel, and, you know, the total body burden of your x-rays. We're going to have an epidemic of cancers and leukemias.
Oh, yeah, an article came out, oh, they're going to put bombs in their breast. They're getting breast surgery. And, I mean, give me a break. I mean, could it get any more laughable? I mean,
it is, you know. I mean, you know, I can just see the TSA bozos out there with their hands. I'll say, okay, ladies, take them off. We got to make sure those are real.
Oh, they'll be having a good old time. It's
like, you know,
system. Where do all the real pedophiles, the smart pedophiles, the smart perverts go?
The Catholic Church.
And the Catholic Church. And now they're going to TSA, and it's like, I'm praying and hoping that, and, you know, enough outcry is going to keep going and the momentum's going to keep going, but there's just so much money in it, because I'm planning to go out in October, and I'm just writing and hoping that there's going to be enough stink to where, okay, we're going to not do the body scanners, but it's not looking like that because they've ordered these.
No, there's too much money. Yeah, there's too much money there. Now we're finding out that the State Department wanted to revoke the crotch bomber's travel visa, and the U.S. intelligence agency said, no, you got to let him go through.
Oh yeah,
it's a setup.
We're going to get
it's a sales pitch.
Yeah,
the crotch bomber was his. Yeah, the crotch bomber was as much of a fraud and sales pitch as lowering the threshold for pandemic at the WHO to sell vaccines and the whole human-caused global warming thing to sell us global government and global taxes. It's all a con and a fraud, and we are made to pay and medically suffer for all of this nonsense that's going on there. Nick, I'm going to finish out the segment with you, and David, hang on through the commercial. We'll get you to the top of the next segment. Anything else on your mind, Nick?
Oh, about the pandemic, just real quick, you know, I was running around at work because, you know, I spend 40 hours a week there, know everybody, and trying to tell people don't take the shots, this is a big scam, get laughed at. And it was real funny until I talked to one of the guys, and then he, you know, I was talking about how it's a fraud and Guillain-Barré and all the medical problems with it. Then the other few weeks ago, I was talking to him again, and, my wife took and got my, he's divorced, and his wife has custody of the child. Yeah, she went and took my 12-year-old son to get the shot. It wasn't too funny then, huh? It's always not so funny when the chickens come home to roost with you. It's that mentality, oh, it's over there. Oh, it's somebody else. It's somebody else's war.
Yeah, there's a lot of denial going on there. Somebody wrote in an email and said, you know, what is it going to take for most people to wake up and realize a crash is coming? And I said, when the crash hits, that's when they'll finally wake up and realize. I mean, I get so many emails from people saying, you know, you were right. Okay, my clock is telling me we're at the end of the segment, but I'm not hearing any music. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here. You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right back to the phones, and we've got David in Arkansas. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How's the weather back there?
Not too bad, actually, today. a lot better than they're doing up in the Northeast under a nice, good covering of global warming.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's on your mind today?
Well, I want to talk about the Internet takeover and them doing censorship and blocking websites. I'm a network engineer, and I've been doing network security for about 2 decades now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to impart a few details to the listeners about this entire scenario they're doing. Back in September, they took over all the domain names. The UN now has control over all the .coms and .nets and all of that. Basically, that's just the DNS side of things. There's another aspect to the Internet. The Internet itself is actually just an aggregate of all of the computers that are hooked up to the Internet. My computer, your computer, it's all part of the Internet. And it's all just hardware addresses. For example, the website www.whatreallyhappened.com correlates to an IP address. It's just a bunch of numbers that don't really mean anything to us humans, but it's the magic that makes it go on under the scenes. For example, your IP is to the website 75.125.132.163. If we know this number and the UN cuts off the DNS, you know that number, we're still going to get to your website.
Actually, that's not true because we're using a virtual domain naming system because we've got other domains on the same server. If you just type... Yeah, sorry about that. In point of fact, we are hostage to our own name here.
There's still other ways around that, though. Because basically all they're doing, they're controlling the 411, the phone book, the thing that allows us to look up names and get these address numbers. All we've got to do is create our own. It's really quite simple. There's really not a whole lot they can do to stop it because the only centralized point of control they've got is over the naming schema, trying to remove various services from the Internet. You actually have to go to all the different providers and, block this IP off, block this port off. The hackers are always going to find ways to route around all of this stuff. And, if push comes to shove, I'd give you a static IP and we'll get this website back up and running.
We have a backup server ready to go that is on a static IP, which I'm not going to share with anybody right now because we've been under regular hacker attack. Wasn't there an alternative public domain domain resolution? There was sort of a public DNS system running for a while in parallel with the regular official one that you could go to that would do the DNS lookup for you and give you the match for the IP numbers. And that was being run, privately by I guess enthusiasts. You could use the name there, but anybody can set up a DNS.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if we can find some freedom-friendly providers, to cooperate with us, we'll be able to fight this. They're going to try tooth and nail to knock this stuff down and try to keep us from being able to communicate the truth with each other, and that just can't fly.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And the historical precedent is when Gutenberg invented movable type printing and made books affordable to all, it threw the church and the civil governments into a total panic, which were used to controlling what the population knew and thought. And there was a big fight for a time where they tried to say only official government licensed people can publish books, and the church literally went out. The very first person to actually translate the Bible into English was burned alive at the stake along with his translation. That's how totally paranoid the church was about people finding out about all the child molestation and everything going on. And we're seeing the same kind of knee-jerk reaction by organized religion and by civil authority against the new technological reality of the Internet, and it is ultimately doomed to fail. The world has changed, and governments and institutions are either going to evolve to adapt to the new environment, or they're going to go extinct.
Yeah, they can't handle it because they can't control us anymore.
That's right.
Back a number of years ago, they started making noise about, we're going to charge per minute and per byte on the Internet, and the Internet community revolted. They really don't quite grasp, the fight they've got in store for them on this one. They're going to be a major inconvenience to us, but I promise you, we're going to route around them at every roadblock that they throw up. If it gets to the point they start playing around the link layer, there's VPNs, and there's all sorts of ways we can pass traffic. I've VPN'd out on ping packets before, and anybody that knows what that is, should be like, wow, that's kind of cool. If you can connect one computer to another, we will find a way to communicate.
And yeah, it's absolutely true.
And it's going to be inconvenient, and we're going to have to be vigilant to stay on top of this, because when we have to start going to backup servers using IP addresses, alternate DNS schemas, It's going to be inconvenient for a while, but we're going to win this one. They cannot shut this down. They're never going to stop on serverless.
Absolutely correct. The world has changed. They're trying very hard to drag us back to the height of the Cold War, even to the point of aiming missiles at Russia again to try and kick that off again. But we're not going to go back. We've been there. It didn't work out for us. It was great for the political leadership, great for the military-industrial complex. It was terrible for the ordinary people. We are not going back there. And you're right. One way or the other, we will keep the communication up because we know it's possible. And, again, either governments and religious institutions are going to evolve to deal with the new reality of a mass communication networked populace, or they're going to go extinct. Personally, I think the U.S. government is on its way to extinction right now.
Yeah, my vote's that they go extinct because it's just so corrupt. It is very foundations at this point that the best thing we can hope.
Well, they're broken in debt, and their only solution is to tax us into poverty to prolong their power a little bit more. And I think we've thrown enough money at this government. It's not working. It's broken. It's time to replace it. You know, I'm trying to start this cash for clunkers program for the government where if you will destroy the old federal government, we'll give you a $4,000 tax credit toward buying a new one.
I love it.
All right. All right, well, thanks an awful lot there, David. We're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to Paul in Texas. Aloha, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I hope you guys are right about the Internet being pretty powerful, but it occurred to me while I was listening to you that what if the government figures out a way to create something alternate that they can use that they're pretty happy with, and then they can just shut it down, declare martial law, and shut it down?
Well, they've already created one. It's called Milnet, and they created it because they couldn't secure their own communications on the regular Internet. They can't just shut down the Internet because so much commerce depends on it right now. If the Internet went away, banks would collapse, credit card companies would collapse, stores would collapse. There's a huge amount of retail that's being done over the net right now to the detriment of the regular commercial real estate, retail establishments we see at the shopping malls and stuff right now. But if the Internet were to go away, it would crash the economy. So they're stuck with it. What they're trying to figure out some way is that they can transform the Internet into just another glorified TV network with a few more buttons on it so that what you're watching is official government-sanctioned news in between the advertisements. And, you know, that's why they're talking about licenses now. They want to license websites the way they license TV networks and stations. But, again, I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I mean, even today on the regular airwaves, the Part 15 radio stations, the courts have affirmed that anybody who's got a transmitter who is not interfering with an established licensed broadcaster is free to go on the air. And I know that, you know, we have a few of what you might say the commercial real AM and FM stations carrying this show, but we have far more of the Part 15 stations are carrying this program right now. We're a big hit out in the Part 15 environment.
I know I'm a fan.
Well, thank you.
My purpose for calling was something else, but on that along that topic, it's like you're saying it would destroy the economy. Well, I think that's been their goal. I mean, what do they throw $30 million at the bankers? They got their money. They're ready to $30 trillion, I'm sorry, at the bankers. They got their money. They're ready to crash this country.
Well, anyway, I think it's going to crash anyway, regardless of their intentions. I think basically they're looting what's left of it before the carcass drops and everything.
Yeah. Well, I was calling about that conference call. I don't know what the heck that's going to be. How do you get more than three people talking on a phone line without it turning into mud? But mostly what I'm concerned about is the whole thing that they're doing. Before you were, you and I had a
Can you hold till the next segment where the music means it's time for another commercial break? So hang on to that phone, Paul. We're going to get to you right as soon as we're done with these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network. Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Paul in Texas. Paul, pick up where you left off, please.
Well, to make it brief, basically our country, this republic, has been taken away from us on a lot of different levels, of course. You know, they took over our media. Now down to, like, what, four corporations, or maybe three, actually, is where you get your news from.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken over the elections. They've given us electronic voting machines so they can easily put in whoever they want, do whatever they want. They own our Congress. They bought them all off. The political parties are all, you know, Republican and Democrat are both basically the war party. They own them. They've gotten into our schools and make sure the education is the propaganda that they want to put out
mm-hmm.
there. That, you know, the
yes.
pharmaceutical. Anyway, it goes on and on. So my problem with these people who are advocating this lousy 3-day lay down is that it's nothing. You know, I haven't had conversations with them through the emails, you know, explaining that this is what needs to be done. You don't just tell people to stay at home. It's useless. That people are going to buy their needed goods before and or after the 3-day strike.
Okay, so what's your suggestion?
Well, I just wanted to point out that I think these people are agents provocateurs. They're trying to actually set up. So it's just like taking over the tea, you know, the Tea Party movement, taking over MoveOn.org, taking over the anti-war groups. They get in, they incrementally take them on. We have to take them back, and that's my solution, is to be active. And their argument with me is they think that I'm advocating violence. They're liars. I think these people
are just trying
to make people think that if they do nothing, that they're doing something, and that's the wrong approach. You can't just sit
let me get in here on this. I the reason that the national strike is catching on with people's imagination is, first of all, if done often enough and long enough, it does have an effect. Gandhi proved that. He used the national strikes to shut down British rule of India. And for those of us who are still trying to avoid violence, this is probably the last step. And if you're right and a national strike doesn't change anything, then the shooting is going to start. And
no,
I don't like that.
I'm saying that that's not what you do. That's what they threw back at me.
What do you want to do?
I have done. I'm an activist. I've gone.
No. Don't. No. Give us a step one. What is the first thing that you think we should be doing right now?
Pick something that you think's important and go after it. It's like Ron Paul. He joined the Republican Party. He's in there. He's making changes from within. You see what I'm saying?
You're not giving us an actual action item list. You're talking.
I am giving you an action list. Get involved. Get into your political party and start.
We've been doing that. It doesn't work. Besides which, neither of the political parties are worthy of our support. Between the Republicans and the Democrats, anarchy is looking really good.
Yeah. You and I had this conversation before about the political parties, and I was talking about a third party is getting together and everything, but you're saying they help kind of control it. So
yeah, basically third parties don't get in there. So we've got to stop working
with them.
We're past working with the system. We've got to find another way.
Ron Paul did. He got in there and he's made a lot of
And he got kicked out, too. And he got kicked out. Okay, Paul, I'm sorry.
He's kicked out of the Republican Party.
Paul, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here and we're going to switch over to Gordon in Canada. Aloha, Gordon. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm on the same track as your previous caller, the national strike. Like him, I'm concerned that it might not work. But my concerns are, I think we should be showing our intentions ahead of the strike. People should be able to show their intentions to each other that they intend to be on strike before it actually happens. And,
yes.
you know, some sort of logo they can wear on their chest or on their breast.
We're working on T-shirts and bumper stickers right now. And, no, a single four-day national strike is not materially going to change anything. It exists solely to send a message.
But we're
striving to find a nonviolent way to change things. But you know what the Kennedy brothers used to say before they got shot down? When peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. I am still hopeful that we are going to see this transition between the current government of the United States and whatever's going to follow on in a very bloodless kind of transition.
I'm very
along the lines
that.
Of what they did with the USSR. The national strike is the next logical step. I absolutely disagree with Paul in Texas that we go back and work within the present political system. The present political system is broken. I admire Ron Paul.
I quite agree with you.
But the bottom line is that Ron Paul was absolutely blockaded from doing anything that really mattered. He was kept out of the process.
And so will
the next one. That's exactly right. The political system is broken and corrupt. It is a waste of time to support.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I have a follow-up on that. I like your idea of vote cheap. That's great. I would also suggest an idea that you can pre-tell the voters. Each voter can pre-tell other voters that they're going to spoil their ballot. Actually go in there and spoil it. They stole the election with spoiled ballots. They'll steal it back with spoiled ballots. It'll scare the hell out of them if voters show up and they spoil the ballots on purpose. And then they go out and tell the post people that, yeah, I spoiled my ballot.
And I'm not sure. I'd have to run some simulations on that to see if it would really affect the outcome or if it simply makes it easier for the vote riggers to steal an election. My gut is telling me that if you're out there spoiling ballots, then those are null ballots.
Yes.
And that means that the vote riggers have to steal fewer votes in order to win. So I'm not sure that that's a really good idea.
That's true. But on the other hand, you know you're not going to win anyways. The people aren't going to win anyways. So what's the loss?
Well, if you're going to have that attitude of not winning anyway, then don't show up and vote, which I think is also an effective way.
Well, but that looks like you're lazy.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't think it's really a good idea for a lot of reasons. It's going to make it a lot easier for the vote riggers to steal the election.
It was a thought, Mike.
I appreciate that, yes.
I'm the guy that won your contest on Name the Flakes or whatever.
Oh, you're in Canada? I thought you sent me an address in London.
It was London, Ontario. Oh, gee, I hope you didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, I'm glad you called because I needed to email you. I had a computer glitch. I need you to send me your mailing address again so I can get that coffee mug out to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, drop me an email on that one.
Thanks for the great show, Mike.
All right, awful lot.
I really hope you people are successful.
I certainly hope so, too. Otherwise, I may be knocking on your door and saying, can we live up there?
Yeah, you can.
All right.
Okay. I know.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gordon. We're going to switch over to Doru in Canada. Doru, aloha. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael, again. I'm just trying to pick up from what the previous caller brought up. And we all at heart are pacifists. Nobody wants war. Nobody wants violence and so on. But regarding the history and regarding the voting...
Okay, Doru, your phone connection is breaking up. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And as I recall, we didn't have a good time with our discussion last time. So thank you very much for the phone call. And we're going to switch over to Lauren in Ohio. Aloha, Lauren. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, we have fun, though, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Hey, solutions. Keep your children out of schools. That's half of state's budget. Think about it. I'm in Ohio. You got a $50 billion-plus budget. Half of it is for education, and yet and still half of that's for administration. The children in Ohio, you've got a third to 50% of them that are attending college in remedial math or English. Now, if you didn't learn math and English in high school, what are you doing in college? You see what I mean? You're supposed to do the first steps before you move on. It's not about just having the credential. Look, I have a college degree. I can't read and I can't add, but here I have this piece of paper, kind of like the money. You always talk about the pretty pieces of paper. I kind of look at that the same way as I look at graduations and diplomas from colleges that no longer teach any objective information. It's all philosophy and feelings and all this nonsense. And if you're looking at the engineering
and self-validation
and
working on your esteem and all the rest of that stuff.
Well, there you go.
And
you're looking next to you at all the Chinese and Indian and, you know, hardworking people from other countries that are coming, and they're the engineers and they're the...
And they know how to do things. They know how to think. They know how to solve problems, which is what our education is definitely disconnecting from.
Well, there's step one. Because what happens is all these government workers, they won't work for nothing. You work for nothing, Mike. You've been doing this a long time, taking money out of your pocket to make sure and try and save your country. The people that work for government don't have our attitude. They won't work free. So if you cut off the money, they will stop what they're doing. That's the first step. The next step is keep your money in your pocket. If you don't know taxes, don't pay them. Now, for the people that don't understand or don't want to go there, I mean, I understand that. But for two mom and dad working families, mom, go home. It's what you're doing is these are dominionists. They want dominion over the fruit of your labor. If the woman is working at home, they can't get access to the fruit of that labor.
Okay, I am sorry. We're Lauren, we've got to let you go. We're at the end of the segment here, and we've got callers piling up here. So, Lauren, thank you for the call. John and Gary, we'll take you right after the news break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Michael Rivero, What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show. And if you're listening to the news break, you'll hear the announcement that the snow that has hit Washington, D.C., this is the worst snowstorm in 90 years. Not since the end of World War I has the nation's capital been so hammered by a winter storm. And still, the United Nations is out there trying to support the IPCC and continue to sell this idea that the world is getting warmer, that humans are to blame, and that you've got to pay a carbon tax and submit to global government run by, of course, the United Nations. These people just don't know when to quit. The IPCC global warming cultist shills are all over the net saying, no, this is weather. This isn't climate. This is weather. Well, climate is just weather averaged over a very, very long time. And what amazes me is they're still out there trying to sell this idea that a warming Earth brings colder weather. That's not science. It's a plot line from a science fiction movie called The Day After Tomorrow. I know I worked on it. And these bozos are stealing this story from a science fiction movie, just like Al Gore stole some of our computer-generated scenes of Arctic ice cracking for his so-called documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. That isn't real footage of the real Arctic ice breaking. That's computer-generated from our movie, and he just stole it for his film, and he got the Academy Award and the Nobel Peace Prize, and which shows you how much politics is behind this, selling you a global government on the basis of swine flu and carbon and all the rest of this stuff, and it's nonsense. But this is a huge story. Amtrak is canceling their trains in the Carolinas and in Virginia. States of emergency all over New Jersey. Thousands of homes are without power. It is a major, major storm. And looking at these scenes of the snow coming down there, I can almost picture the mammoths looking around and saying, what the heck is this? So anyway, now getting back to the phones, and we have got John in Texas. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike.
Aloha.
Following up a little bit with what Paul from Texas and everything, and what was being discussed, I like the idea of having a strike, a sit-in, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see that there's no one thing. We have to apply different measures across the board.
Yes.
And because the government's applying different measures against us, we need to come back with different ways of pressure against them. We need to march on Washington. We need to march on Wall Street. We need to march our state capitals. We need to have the sit-ins. We need to have people pull their money out of banks.
I agree with all of that.
And make those statements. And people are going to have to get right in their mind that the government's not going to be happy with this. Pressure will be applied to people, and that they're just going to have to either say it's worth the risk or go home, you know?
They are, but you're absolutely right. We're going to have to do all of these things, and again, we're basically at a final threshold. We're eager to find a nonviolent way to transition this government away from the path that it's on, onto something that is going to benefit the American people, or, to be more honest about it, collapse and then form a new government that will take care of the American people, and to do so with the minimum amount of bloodshed. If we fail on this, then I fear civil war may be inevitable. And that's the reason. But as far as what Paul was saying, it is too late to try and work within the system. The system is too fossilized. It is too armored against the intrusion of any outsiders. Ron Paul proved that. He had all this money and all this support and still got the door slammed in his face. So that was the wake-up call.
And the courts, the political system, the court system, all tilted. But,
yes.
You know, I want to get your opinion on something or your thought. And it was a comment that I had heard and kind of along this line that it seems like it's always throughout history that the change has been affected by the warrior class, if you will. Those willing to step up and face the hardship, however that comes down. you know, because you can have non, in my opinion, nonviolent warriors and warriors. Those who are willing to stand up against the establishment, those who are willing to risk it all.
Well, I agree with that up to the point. I don't want to call them warriors because, again, the goal is to find a peaceful way to effect the transition. Gary, your phone is kind of doing some weird things here, and we've got a lot of callers. So, I'm sorry, that John, we need to let you go, and we're going to switch over to Gary in Connecticut. Aloha, Gary. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I'm here. Yes. Paul's call also got me going, too. You know, I went to a Tea Party when they first had them. It was like last fall, a year and a half ago. And, I mean, it was a fantastic thing, but I got to talking to people, and most of them, I would say 70%, were just, you know, like your typical Republican reactionary stuff. I mean, most of these guys were pro-war. So the Tea Party movement, I knew it right then and there. It's done.
But already being hijacked by the GOP. They're going to be carrying that into the November elections.
You know? And, you know, I just listened to the news, listened to you talking. I have a terrific fantasy. I wish I was a sanitation worker in D.C. right now. All it would take is 50 guys saying, listen, we're tired of you politicians. Guess what? Dig yourselves out of the snow. You know, you could change the whole country with just that.
Oh, they're calling in the National Guard. They're going to call in the National Guard to dig out the snow, not just Washington, D.C., all over the place. It's a mess back there. All right, thank you very much for the phone call, Gary, and we're going to switch over to Benjamin. The phone lines are just loaded up right now. Benjamin in Connecticut, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I love the show. I just wanted to make a point about the economic situation we're in right now. I mean, what's happening to our country is basically what some of the elites in our country have been doing to other countries for a long time now, and there's a game plan to it. And specifically what they're going to be saying soon is that we need to cut spending on anything that, you know, actually goes to benefit the people.
They're already doing that.
They're not going to be cutting taxes. And I guess what I'm worried about, you know, I was hearing on the previous show talking about how we need to get rid of the post office, for example. You know, maybe there's some benefit to that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing stuff like that from the government soon. But, you know, it's going to be so that they can divert it to the war and things like that, the bailout.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the bottom line is Obama's latest budget and his State of the Union address, he has put us on a war footing economically. All the money is going to war. It's going to Israel. They're cutting critical services for the American people. We're down to 4 days school weeks here in Hawaii. People are starving. They're losing their jobs. And there's no money to take care of the American people. But there's lots of money to be building big, new, shiny bombs. And the problem is that the U.S. is in a position to start a new world war to try and get out of its economic mess, but it can't win one. We don't have the economic resources. We don't have the manufacturing capacity. The people in Washington, D.C. who are planning this new war, they're listening to the voices in their head, and they think it's God talking to them, and they're leading this country off the edge of a cliff. And the bankers don't care if we get into this war and lose, because it'll run up all these debts that we'll be convinced that we have to pay off. And at this point, I would say, no, this is all odious debt. We, the American people, didn't agree to any of this war spending, or spending on TV cameras to watch us, or spending on nude scanners at the airport. This is all odious debt, and we, the American people, are not liable for it.
Well, I mean, I would just want to caution, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for a lot of libertarian positions, but I just want to, you know, caution my libertarian friends to not get suckered in when you hear this government talking about cutting certain kinds of spending into thinking it's a good thing, because they're not cutting spending to cut taxes. They're cutting spending to redirect to their friends.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And anytime they talk about cutting taxes, it's a token cut. And so far, you know, I mean, going back to the last administration, the tax cuts were all for the very wealthy donors to the campaigns. Ordinary working Americans are getting the short end of virtually every deal coming out of Washington, D.C., because they can steal the votes from us, and we don't have enough money to bribe the Congress compared to places like Israel. And that's why we're kind of on the end here. Benjamin, thanks for the call. We're going to let you go here. When we get back from the next break, we'll be taking calls from Mike and George. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're following the storm on the mid-Atlantic seaboard there. They're now reporting 200,000 people are without electricity in Washington, D.C. They're trying to find Al Gore's hockey stick so they can burn it and stay warm. Trains being canceled, flights being canceled. If you're in that storm and you're in your home, stay there. This is not a day to be traveling, and you're probably not going to get where you want to go anyway. So just hunker down and ride it out and take lots of pictures. And next summer, when the global warming cult comes back and asks you for carbon taxes, you wave these pictures at them and say, this is your global warming right here. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. The phone lines are loaded up. We're going to go to Michael in California. Aloha, Michael. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing. I had a brain scan, and they said there was nothing there.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah. I would like to agree with you politically. There needs to be something done massively in this country. And
yes,
the tyrannical attitude that prevails is not just in Washington, D.C. It's in the state level. It's in the local governments down to the tiniest county. They have such a disrespect for people, and they will do anything they can to steal our money through building departments, you name it. They don't care about anything but their jobs and their power. And believe me, I've almost been literally, and I'm not kidding, killed twice by government. I've almost lost my life. And it's not a pleasant thing, and I'm a peaceful guy. We are fighting on multiple fronts because in World War II, the men, the 11 million men that were in the service, you know, they were in the trenches. They killed with a K-bar, a steel pot, and an M1. And they went through the villages, and they saw the ravages of war and what it did to the people, not just the people that were killed through the military were very small compared to the ravages of the people in general. And when they came back, they knew who the enemy was. They knew it was on both sides. They knew it was the bankers. My father in the 50s, I asked him, Daddy, what did you do in the war? He said he picked up body parts. His buddy was blown off a ship in the South Pacific. And he went down in a skiff to pick him up, and when he picked him up, he only got half a body because a shark ate him. And he said, son, I want you to know this. Someday, you're going to be taking a wheelbarrow in America to buy a loaf of bread. And these people...
Yeah,
because
they'd seen that in Germany. Yeah, they'd seen that in Germany.
They saw it.
Okay, well...
But so, the thing is, we're so fragmented. And this is a question I have for you. I'm a Christian, and I know there's a lot of talk about this Romans 13 thing. My first obligation is, it says, give to Caesar what is belonging to Caesar. And that means the Constitution is my rule of law on this earth. And I am to uphold it and defend it. And there's no getting around that. But I think on this radio show, there seems to be a somewhat overtone of that you have some... What of a problem with people of faith? And I think we need to embrace everybody. And we need to get
let me respond to that. Okay, I don't have a problem with people's faith. I don't care if you want to believe in God or gods or Odin or Thor or Quetzalcoatl or the flying spaghetti monster. I don't care. You're welcome to it. We have a First Amendment right that you have a right to believe as you want. My issue is with organized religion, which is a business, and it is engaged in the enslavement and exploitation of people through the use of various religious myths. And as I pointed out yesterday, it is impossible to reconcile the idea of this epidemic of child molestation taking place among the clergy with the idea that there is some kind of a loving, benign God, above all of it, who seems to, at the very least, be absolutely ignoring the prayers of the parents that their children be kept from harm. So if you want to believe something, that's fine, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm not strongly motivated to go out and convince everybody that there is no God. But I do have an issue with organized religion, which is constantly pounding on my door with leaflets saying, you must believe the way we tell you to believe.
Because I agree with you, 100%.
Okay. All right.
It's an individual.
Okay, Michael, we got to let you go. Michael, the lines are full. We got to let you go, and I didn't want to get into a discussion of religion. So thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to switch over to the other Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mr. Rivera. Thank you for letting me get on. I just want to be on for a minute. I want to respond to Paul in Texas and the gentleman that was in Canada as to what the purpose of the strike is. And we're not trying to form a party and put some other ruler in charge. We're anti-federalists. We're trying to limit the federal government to its proper role, and we need to resist on the most basic level, the individual citizen, and try to, at every level, as we escalate up, trying to make if anybody says they represent us, they need to step up and actually defend our sovereignty. That's what they're swearing to.
Well, you know, the reason I got very upset with Paul is I'm of the opinion that anybody who still thinks it's possible to work within the current political system is either a paid propagandist or they should not be allowed to be operating heavy machinery because they're absolutely delusional. And the issue I have here is, and especially in light of the modern electronic world of the Internet, I'm not even sure that representational government is even necessary anymore.
Yes, I don't want to be represented.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, if there's something that you want to, you know, if you want to tax me to do things for the country, send me a shopping list on a web page. And those things I agree with, I'll check off and I'll write you a check for. And those things I don't agree with, I'm not going to pay for. So if there's a checkbox for schools, I'll check that and I'll send in the money for that. And if there's a checkbox for emergency rooms, I'll check that and send in the money for that. And if there's a checkbox for giving money to Israel, I'm going to skip that one. And if there's a checkbox for, you know, declaring war on Iran, I'm going to avoid that one as well. That would be a true democracy where the people get to decide what they want to do. But we're being asked to pay all these taxes. We're told it's going to go for purpose A, and then all of a sudden we're being told, oh, sorry, we don't have any money left for you. We got to go bomb Iran now. That's not democracy. It's not even a republic. It is a dictatorship by any reasonable definition of the word. And, you know, Paul in Texas, he's, like I said, he's either a paid propagandist or he's absolutely delusional about what's going on right now. It is way too late to work within the system. The system is dying. Let us set up a hospice where it can go in peace without lashing out at the rest of the world in its death throes with its nuclear weapons. That's the biggest threat we're dealing with right now.
Well, any peace officers, any military personnel, anybody who claims to be any kind of authority as far as representing us, they need to stop this money from being taxed at the low level. They need to keep their money in their areas. We need regional rule. We need home rule.
We need states' rights. Absolutely. The states need to recover their power under the 10th Amendment. Now, interestingly enough, I was going to try and get to this later in the show, but I'm going to mention it now in response to what you said. South Carolina is considering a bill that would reauthorize the use of gold and silver coinage as legal tender within the state for all debts. In other words, they're setting up a second monetary system that operates outside the Federal Reserve. Now, I don't know, maybe New York will declare war on South Carolina or something like that, or this could even be the beginning of a new secession movement. But if we can get our states to say there's money that we are allowed to use that doesn't come from the private central bank, we have a chance to pull back out of some of this debt that's being created for us. So, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. George, John, and Art, we will take you in the next segment, and we'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. The phone lines are loaded up today. We're going to go to George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, howdy from Texas. I know that's aloha in Hawaii. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, y'all.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, just listening, I remember a city council meeting they had last week where the city was sitting there saying, we may have to cut police services if you won't allow us to raise taxes. Well, a few people got into the comprehensive finance report and found out they had all this nice money tucked away in this and that investment. And basically the people were saying, well, if you're going to cut police, go right ahead. They weren't doing their job anyway, just being a nuisance to us.
Yeah, we all got guns. We'll take care of those criminals, and you won't have to pay to feed them and keep them in jail afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, you know, communities across America, they're all doing that. They're cutting off services and saying, well, if you want the services back, you've got to agree to higher taxes. And more taxpayers are saying, we'll live without the services, thank you very much. We'll take our own trash out. We'll keep our own parks clean. And you, have you noticed in all these communities, they're always talking about cutting the services you pay for. They never talk about voluntarily cutting their own salaries or maybe getting along with a smaller legislature or letting go of some of all these little very pretty girls and boys they have running around the Capitol building as assistants. They never talk about cutting their own budgets and their own perks. It's always the services that you need, that you're supposed to be paying for. Like I said, we're on a four-day-a-week school situation out here, and now with Moody's downgrading our bond situation, it's going to get worse. And so the government, they're blaming the unions, they're blaming the, you know, well, they're not blaming TSA, they're blaming the Russians. Now, the latest thing we're getting out of Washington, D.C. is it's all the Russians' faults, our economy is in bad, bad shape. Okay. Basically, they're thrashing around for anybody that they can blame for the fact that the U.S. government has basically screwed the country.
Well, actually, what I'm hearing from Russia, there's even some elements of Russia has been trying to keep our economy from falling because our economy is tied to theirs. They know if we fall, it's going to ripple into their economy.
And it's going to destroy the whole world. That's the downside of globalism, is that when we go down, we'll take the rest of the world with us.
I mean, in Russia, they're trying to keep the United States afloat because they know it's in their interest. And believe me, they've been going after the financial oligarchs like we should be.
Yes.
I mean, every time they arrest one, they're finding a Rockefeller and a Rothschild. Not too far behind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And definitely when the U.S. government collapses and we set about building a new nation after that, we need to study what the Russian people did during the collapse of the USSR. What did they do right? What did they do wrong? Obviously, getting rid of the oligarchs and getting rid of the private central bankers, it has to be A, number one on the list. Number two is a balanced budget law right in the fundamental constitution of the new government. You may not spend more money than you have on hand. You may not borrow more money than you can repay before the end of your administration. No more carrying debt forward into the future.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I, like, laughed. They had this law about credit cards with teenagers, under 18, about with credit cards. What the government say about credit cards? Something with the law. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I said, they're trying to tell young kids what to do with their credit cards, but yet they don't follow their own rules.
No, they never do. They never do. It's completely reckless. Remember the congressional banking scandal where it turned out that, you know, these Congress critters were writing bad checks and the Congress bank would just cover them and kite them along automatically. Talk about a perk. They don't live the way the rest of us do. And, you know, they have private jets and they've got all these huge budgets to work with. And, you know, we don't live like that. I mean, I guess number three on the new Constitution is that the members of whatever legislative or government body that we put into power, they have to live their lives the way that we do. The laws that apply to us apply to them. The laws that apply to them apply to us. And everybody gets a blind trust, not just the president and vice president, but every member of the legislature. Their wealth goes into a blind trust so they can't vote themselves richer, which is what we saw during this whole TARP push, where people like Nancy Pelosi, who's worth $500 million, and she's basically voting taxpayer money into the brokerages with which she herself is doing business. That has got to stop.
Well, I want to say one thing, Mike. I've been learning Russian because I'm preparing to go over to Russia because I don't want to be a burden on anybody going there. I want to be able to speak the language and get educated as best I can.
Well, you'll find most Russians speak excellent English, and I'm sure you'll get along just fine. And I've even started wondering if Goskino is looking for any experienced visual effects experts to emigrate over there. I certainly would love to see the Hermitage Museum someday. So would my wife. All right, George, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to switch over to John in Ohio. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, just to bounce off last caller, I went to the Soviet Union just with a cross-section of Middle Western people, tourists, and I went on my own while they were going to the guided tours of all the museums and the rest of it. And I found out that this was in 81, that we had been lied to. They weren't great, but considering a country that had been destroyed twice in a generation, First and Second World War, started out as a feudal backward country. They were amazingly advanced, and the lies we had been told about the police state and the rest of it, I think, was designed to create the kind of boogeyman that we needed to spend us into this multi-trillion dollar military budget with thousands of bases around the world and killing people by the millions, and from Indonesia to Vietnam to Central America, Latin America. So we were lied to, and I was free to go anywhere I wanted. I talked to people with English, and I found out in many cases that they had a much more a bucolic picture of the United States than I even knew, because they were able to listen to American shortwave. We had no shortwave bands in the during the Cold War, virtually during the Cold War.
They were all being jammed.
And on our side,
yes,
is what I'm saying. We didn't have them on our radios. They had them over there, and they were able to pick up the American shortwave broadcast. I brought my own. I could hear it. So we've been lied to, and I think people ought to look up things like lies concerning the Soviet Union. You'll look those words up on Google. You'll find some of the lies. Professor Grover Furr, F-U-R-R, has exposed much of this. And I think it's really a cancer on many of the people that have been misled, and even on this network, because I think that there's a new Cold War that's being built now concerning Latin America, the new Albert Group with Venezuela, Ecuador, and Cuba.
And Russia. We're pointing missiles at Russia again. You know,
yes,
they're trying as hard as they can to take us back to the 1950s. And, you know, the thinking is if they can get to a situation where they can wave Russians at us again, that we'll forget all about the lies of Climategate, all about the lies of Saddam's nukes, all about the lies of the swine flu, and we'll go back to saluting the flags and saying, oh, dear government, please save us from the bad old Russians, and here's my money, and my wife is going to scorch out two more soldiers here before next year. So,
yeah, that's what it is. It's just an attempt to wave that flag and say, quit complaining about you being pushed into poverty by these trillions of dollars for the military-industrial war machine killing people in these countries. Obama doubling Bush's warmongering. And I agree with the previous person who said that these Tea Parties are really just fronts for a bunch of demagogues.
The GOP is hijacking the Tea Party movement. They're going to rebrand it as a GOP sales tool going into November. And the bottom line is, I think at this point, I'm hoping the electorate is going to recognize that it is. They've simply co-opted the original idea of the Tea Party, which was not originally partisan. It was simply saying too much taxes, too much spent on war, cut taxes, and it was a bipartisan movement. Now the GOP is trying to grab it and use it as their rebranding going into November. And we, you know, the Democrats are in a total panic because they understand that we, the American people, are tired of taxes, and we're tired of the money being spent on war. We're tired of the money being spent on Israel. But the bottom line is, if there's a lesson to be learned from Barack Obama's presidential victory, both parties are going to say whatever they think will get them the most votes. And then once they win, they'll just go off and do what they want to do.
Well, they will, but I think both Obama and the Republicans have got to fight over the perks of office, but they're both run by the same war industries, the same military-industrial complex, but they've got to pretend to run against Washington when they're actually
Washington. We got to let you go. We got to take a commercial break. We'll be back with Art and Chris after these commercials.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just scratch yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment, the phone lines are loaded up. Before we get back to the calls, a couple of real quick things here. First of all, a reminder, after the show is over, there's going to be a national conference call regarding the national strike. The phone number, again, is 712-775-7200. The access code is 431-669 and the pound sign, and these are posted at the top of the main page at whatreallyhappened.com, so you may want to plug into that and get this thing going. Second story, and I really wanted to get to this one today. The Indiana Fire Department, if they come to your house and put out a house fire, they are now billing you $28,000. And this, of course, is coming as a tremendous shock to the residents of Indiana, whose taxes have paid for all that equipment and for all the salaries. And now the government, which is cash-strapped, and they can't raise money through taxes because people are saying no more taxes, so they're turning around, and they're now going to bill you for the services using equipment and staff that you have already paid for. And it sort of reminds me of just where the fire departments came from, because fire departments were invented by a Roman named Marcus Licinius Crassus. And he kept a bunch of trained slaves and special wagons equipped with tools to fight fires stationed throughout Rome. And whenever a building caught on fire, they would race to the scene, and Marcus Licinius Crassus would offer to buy the building at a tiny fraction of its worth. And if the owner sold, his slaves would put the fire out. And if the owner refused to sell, they'd let it burn to the ground. And by this very simple device, Marcus Licinius Crassus became one of the largest landowners in Rome and eventually the richest man in the world. He backed Julius Caesar politically and eventually became consul of Rome himself following the Spartacus slave revolt. So a little bit of interesting history there. We're going to go to the phones. Art in Maryland. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Is Art there?
No, this is Chris, Mike.
Oh, Chris, all right. Then Chris, we'll go with you. Chris, what's on your mind?
Well, on the national strike, it is both symbolic and substantial in that it's going to cause planning frustrations. It's going to cause inventory fluctuations if it's done repeatedly, and also budget projections will be a little bit fouled up, I'm sure, as well. And when it comes to Ron Paul, you say he had the door slammed in his face by the Republican Party. Yeah, but, you know, all the yard signs that show that he has overwhelming popularity, that he was cheated, and that people, you know, had to make a choice between Ron Paul and the shills on TV and radio like Beck, and on issues like war or the Federal Reserve. Beck was forced to bring out a statement that he's in agreement with Ron Paul, and I get a lot of Tea Party members are kind of reticent that Beck was forced into doing that, and also, you know, disagree with Ron Paul on the Patriot Act and so many other issues. But this past Friday, I went to the Beck and O'Reilly Stale and Weak tour, not to be confused with the Bold and Fresh tour, and speaking to a lot of the different people coming out who had approached me and the We Are Change Tampa members, you know, with me with my 9/11 Patriots Question 9/11.org sign, and they would ask, well, where are the rest of you? Just me and a few college students got to hold up some Joker pictures of Bill O'Reilly saying, I don't care about the Constitution. And so, you know, it's interesting that there are so many from the left and the right who are in agreement, but they would ask, where are the rest of you? And I would just point to my sign and say there are over 1,024 architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. There are hundreds of pilots.
Let me leap in here a little bit, and I'll answer that question because I get that a lot. I mean, back in 2003, we had millions of people in the streets. And everyone now says, well, obviously the American people don't care, or they'd be out there protesting. Well, we've had almost a decade now of the corporate media outright ignoring any public protests or, even worse, dissing them and insulting them. And basically, it has become very clear to the American people that politicians are not watching the protests anymore. They're not paying attention to the petitions. In a nation with massive vote fraud, the politicians don't need to worry about the protests anymore. And they don't need to worry about the petitions. Back when we had reasonably honest elections, a politician looking out his office window and seeing those signs would be saying, every one of those signs is a vote for my opponent next election unless I make those people happy. When he would get a petition, he'd look at those names and he'd say, every one of these names is a vote for my opponent next election unless I make these people happy. Now they don't have to worry about that anymore. They only have to worry about making the people who count the votes happy. And that's why the American people have been disenfranchised, and they have either consciously or unconsciously come to understand that protests in the street aren't really going to change anything. Petitions aren't really going to change anything. They can't change anything with the elections. They certainly won't waste their time getting involved with the current system because it's too locked up to really affect any change from inside. And so basically they're looking at national strike, and if the national strike and other peaceful methods don't work, then we're looking at violence and bloodshed, which I would like to avoid if at all possible.
Well, you know, I do back you up on that point, is that Bev Harris needs to be supported and watch Hacking Democracy, go to Black Box voting.org. Like I tell people, like you say, that's a great point that I try to repeat to people. And even at this Beck and O'Reilly tour, I told some of the people the same thing, is that just because a black man is now elected isn't proof that he is a popularly elected president, that he is even legitimately our president on other bases also, which, you know, they should go to Phil Berg rather than the Russian lady, Orly Tate.
I don't want to get into that whole mess again, and let me state right now, I think that in this case, Obama actually did win the election, even though there was vote fraud against him, certainly in the New Hampshire primary. But my problem with Barack Obama is that he said what we wanted to hear him say, and he said it very well, and once he became president, of course, he just went off and did what his financial backers and his owners asked him to do. And, you know, he's a complete failure and disappointment as president to the American people. And, you know, going into this next election, I think most Americans can be forgiven for thinking it doesn't matter who we vote for. They're already owned and bought by the corporate interests. Those voting machines are stealing our votes. It's time to start taking a sledgehammer to those voting machines, if not to the entire government as a whole. And as I said, this national strike is a first step, and it's symbolic. And again, the message we're sending isn't just to the U.S. federal government. It is a message being sent to all those foreign investors who have parked their money inside the United States on the government's promise that the U.S. taxpayer will cover all the losses. And we, the taxpayers, need to send a message to those other countries. No, we're not going to cover those losses anymore. If you put your money in the United States and you lose money, you are on your own. We will not pay for your losses. It's not in the Constitution. It's illegal. We're not going to do it. We're going to dig in our heels. We'll just simply stop working. And if we're not working, the government can't tax us. And if the government can't tax us, it can't give it to Israel. It can't give it to foreign investors. It can't spend it on war. And certainly nobody's going to loan this government any more money, as deeply in debt as it is. The U.S. government is going to be in default by the end of the year. I mean, that's an absolute guaranteed sure fact at this point.
Well, if a corporate personhood is now the de facto, then a corporation can run for office, and that means that the District of Columbia, having been incorporated in 1871, could conceivably run for president. Isn't that
it
right?
It has to pass a competency test first. The corporation has to prove it can read and write and answer the basic questions of citizenship. And I've yet to see a corporation with that kind of sentience. We got to let you go, and we're going to switch over to Frank in Ohio. Frank, we're almost to the end of the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, and you're right on, Mike.
Thank you.
And you are right on about that. We do have to destroy the Diebold computer machines, and you are right on about that. Also, that's a district, not a state, so... there's been a lot of squabble about that being, that's only a district, Washington, not a state. So that, they're not part of the union. Also, I see this left-right paradigm coming, the Democrats and, Democons and Republicans coming. They're gonna push Sarah Palin, up there in front. And we were lied to all the way around as far as Mr. Obama, Barry Sotero. We were lied to all the way around about that. They have a number of different places to go and places. We've been split up by people like Glenn Beck and the other phony Tea Party leaders, okay? Not the true patriots like Judge Andrew Napolitano. Or not the true people that want the truth out there, like Fred Bell.
Frank, we got to let you go. Frank, I'm sorry. We're out of time. We're at the end of the show. Thank you very much for the phone call. All right. Obviously, from the calls we got today, thank everybody who called in here. I hear the anger. I really do. I'm seeing it in the emails and even in the chat room. It's palpable out there. We're building to a crisis. All right. Have a good weekend. Spend some time with your family. Super Bowl tomorrow. And remember, when the quarterback goes out for the long bomb, duck. We'll be back tomorrow at Monday at 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Genesis Communication Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well. Tell all your local radio stations about us. Tell your friends about us. Have them tune into the show here. And Aloha, America.